Cookstown. I don't know, I found you really inspiring, and I've done some work in the downtown east side too. It's really hard to see that the situation that we're living in, you know, when we get displaced from our lands. You know, someone out there displaced us from our lands, and there's a lot of us living in ghettos now, and that's because someone wants our land so that they can profit off of it. My name is Shek Shmeej, and I'm from the Ntlagatmus Nation, that's in the interior of BC. I'm really honored to be here on unceded Coast Salish territories. You know, it's been last minute, but I was asked to speak, and I'm really thankful to have this time to speak. And Carol here just focused a lot on our struggle in the cities, and what I'm going to talk about now are more our land struggles, and everything that Carol's talked about is caused by us being displaced from our lands, from our hunting grounds, from our traditional ways of living. And corporations like the Hudson Bay Company did that because they want all our land. They want everything that we have. They want us to be weakened. You know, that's why our people were forced into residential schools when they were little kids. And one-third of them made it. Two-thirds died. One-third died in the residential school. One-third died later from, like, drug overdoses, suicides. And it's so sad, you know, the situation that we're living in now, you know, the missing murdered women. And there's a few of us that are still, you know, involved in land struggles. And those are really, you know, that's something that we really need the support, because, you know, like everywhere in the cities and out, you know, on the land, people who are still supporting themselves on the land, we all need that support. We all need people to understand what we're going through, you know, because we're out here in the West, we have a sovereignty movement, you know, it's a really awesome sovereignty movement that, it's really good, I just love it. Anyway, anyway, I'll just leave it at that, and I'm going to go into what I have written here. So, okay, according to Canadian statistics, 3.8% of the populations in the colonial borders of Canada are native. Whether we're in the city or on a reserve, we're displaced from our land. Our access to our land for traditional sustenance has been under constant threat since the beginning of European invasion, and we lose more with every development project. We're feeling the impact of our displacement in many ways. Many of our people are now living in substandard housing and overcrowded dwellings. Many communities have to boil their water to make it sanitary. Our communities suffer from high levels of diabetes and are 8 to 10 times more likely to be afflicted with so-called third world diseases like tuberculosis. And suffer is the key word. The rape and pillage invasion tactics that have been used on us by the British colony Canada has a history that traces back to the Greek and Roman empires, like the Olympics. Today, the seeds planted by these empires has evolved into the mass global corporate control over everyone in the world by a few. In Canada, the invasion of our territories can be traced to the Hudson Bay Company, who initially engaged in trade with the Native Nations. During the fur trade, half our populations was wiped out through disease and by the violence, making it possible for our lands to be taken over. To this day, we're continually being pushed aside by the colonial government and corporations that are exploiting our land. One example is the Royal Bank of Canada and other corporations that are funding the Alberta tar sands project. These people are losing valuable hunting grounds, and their contaminated drinking water is causing cancer rates to skyrocket. Both the Hudson Bay Company and Royal Bank of Canada are corporate sponsors of the Olympics. Like rape and pillage or Western civilization, the origin of the Olympic Games also came from the Greek and Roman empires. It's no wonder that corporations like Hudson Bay Company and Royal Bank of Canada uphold these games. It's sacred to them, and it's a part of who they are. The Olympic torch relay started off in October in Victoria, BC, which was also created by the Hudson Bay Company. And later, James Douglas, the chief factor of the Hudson Bay Company, became the first governor of BC. Fort Victoria was the place that HBC introduced alcohol and disease to the local natives they traded with. And that's the background of the people who are hosting the 2010 Winter Olympics. So the Greek and Romans were the pure Aryan races that the Nazis believed that they were also a part of. And that's why they're proud to host the 1936 Summer Olympic Games in Berlin. The Nazis created the five-ring Olympic symbol that's used today, and also created the Olympic torch relay that crossed Europe. They used this torch relay to boost their public face to the world and to promote fascism throughout Europe. The Olympics has almost always been held in imperialist countries. Again, the roots of the most repressive forces that can be traced back to the Greek and Roman empires. And the Olympic Games are being upheld, you know, by the same elite. Then here's the 2010 Olympics, which appears to be very native friendly, and it appears that natives wholeheartedly embrace the 2010 Olympics, which some do. Through the Olympics, the world sees our beautiful land and culture and our beautiful people happily taking part in the Olympic torch relay, and they will be present to do cultural presentation during parts of the 2010 Vancouver Whistler Olympic Games. The Olympic torch relay that is being aired globally is specifically promoting Canada tourism to Canadian tourism to 15 key market countries. And like we all know, our reality is much different than anything the Olympics is putting out there. From the appropriated Inuit Inukshuk to the mascots Miga, Kwachi, and Sumi, who are being appropriated from the West Coast nations. So I want to get a little bit into how this is impacting our land. During the past 10 years, the province poured money into developing the tourism industry with goals of doubling profits by 2010. They created a BC Resort Task Force of owners or CEOs of resorts to research ways to speed up the process of creating and expanding resorts. Provincial dollars were poured into assisting big businesses in making profits. 9 resort development and expansions were approved, and others like the Coquihalla Summit Resort proposal on unceded Nklagamish territory are seeking approval from the BC government. BC is using the Olympics as a cover for a land grab that is displacing natives from their hunting grounds and impacting our clean water. Megatourism projects are being developed on so-called crown lands or public lands, and these corporations are given leases to structures for resort projects. But the lands at the bottom of the mountains become privately owned, something that actually Art broke down to me a few years ago. And these resorts are where the real profits are generated. The resort towns become real estate, and that's where all the money comes from the sales of ski chalets, vacation properties, storefronts. So the resort town Whistler Blackcomb has been used as a blueprint that similar resort proposals and expansions are being based on in the interior BC. Okanagan, Tlatlam, Sahuatmunk, Palalt, and Nklagamf have all resisted unwanted ski resorts. One example of how these resort towns impact territories is the proposed Coquihalla Summit, which is proposed to create a resort that would house 7,000 people. The nearby town Merritt and rural communities surrounding Merritt has a population of about 10,000, so the water use alone would have negative impacts on our land, not to mention that's like very sacred land. It's like, again, near a glacier, clean water. It's a place where we're really big on berry picking, and it's some of our richest berry picking grounds. These resorts are being set up by our glaciers, a big source of our water systems, and this is cutting us off from our water. It's polluting our water that's going through streams, through rivers, and into the ocean. Here in BC, we're blessed with wild salmon that's being threatened by industry and resource extraction. They're being threatened by all the fish farms that have been set up along the mouths of the river along the coast. There's a proposed pipeline from the Alberta tar sands to Kitimat, BC, and I think there's about 32 kilometers that this proposed pipeline would be running along a salmon spawning river that would impact the Fraser River and another river up north. And these days, the wild salmon is what's basically protecting our rivers from being dammed up by corporations. So all these unwanted development projects are threatening the salmon for this reason, and that's pretty much intentional. And so I guess that's what I have to share today. And we all, just so you know, every single land struggle out there in BC and anywhere, like, we need that support, you know. We need people to educate themselves on what's going on, and because we need to stop this, you know. And it's not even just, you know, sovereignty is like, of course, you know, that's my number one thing is sovereignty, but like, you know, it's gotten to the point where it's for the well-being of the entire planet. Every single environmental project, you know, is, you know, gonna help us, you know, survive. You know, we've all seen the weather changes in our lifetimes, and is worse and worse. So any project, any struggle out there, you know, we need that help. And anyway, that's what I have to share today on how the Olympics is impacting Native people on our land. Cookstown.